Great. So welcome, everyone. You are on the Breastfeeding Basics teleclass. A little bit about the behind the scenes of how we run these. My name is Heather Arweda. I'm one of the co-founders of Mommy Bites. We've been doing these teleclasses for over 4 years now. And how we like to run them is you guys are all muted right now. To unmute yourself, this is different on this platform, you press *2. So those of you that have joined me on previous ones, that's a little bit different. You press *2. And what we'll do is we'll go through some common Q&A for the first part of this class together, and then at the end we'll open it up to questions. And I'll remind you again how to unmute yourself so that you can raise your hand and ask a question. I've muted you just because I know a lot of people call in from you know busy homes, busy offices, cars. So that just sort of alleviates any background noise. And you can also type in questions. Those of you that are on your computers, you can type in questions. You'll see a little button. So feel free to do that as well. So I also want to give a huge, huge thank you to our sponsor of today's teleclass, Lansinoh. They were founded by a breastfeeding mom, and they've been helping moms like you breastfeed for how many years now is it, Gina?
It's 30. We just had our 30th anniversary last year. Yeah.
Ah, that's awesome. For 30 years. And they're just an awesome company. They offer a variety of solutions to make sure that every mom can breastfeed as long as she chooses and whatever her breastfeeding needs may be. They have a lot of answers to common questions on their blog as well as information on their products and resources on Lansinoh.com, which I will send you the link to. A side note, a personal side note, we've been working with them for a few years now, and their team, the people behind the scenes, and certainly our expert today, Gina, they're just awesome people. And Laura and I always think that, you know, the behind the scenes people behind a company speaks very highly to the type of company and the type of product. So it's really just been a pleasure working with them. I also want to welcome Gina Chianye. Gina is the Vice President of Healthcare for Lansinoh, and she's been with the organization for 10 years now. She's also a certified lactation consultant. So welcome, Gina.
Thank you.
So, Gina, I know this is our fourth or fifth time. Gina and I do these together on a regular basis, and a lot of interesting stuff to cover, and we'll open it up for questions at the end. But let's get right down to it, Gina. What can a woman do to prepare for breastfeeding while she's still pregnant? I think we probably have some moms that may be pregnant now, or certainly moms that maybe are planning on having other children will find this, I think, useful.
Yeah, it's a really common question, and it's actually a common concern of moms, they think, or of women when they're pregnant. They think, oh my gosh, I've heard so many horror stories. What's going to happen? What am I going to do? Am I going to be able to handle it? And all of that is really normal, whether it's your first child, whether it's your second or your third. It is what our bodies were designed to do, but babies don't come with instruction manuals, so it is a lot of sort of learning and being patient, and while it's natural, it doesn't always come naturally. So, you know, understanding that it can be overwhelming, but again, that's why people like me exist and why Lansinoh is here to support you. One of the things I think that is big, as with anything you're going to do that is maybe even somewhat familiar, but you're just not really sure how to go about doing it, knowing what to expect is really, really important. So reading, educating yourself on what to expect, and I would say, you know, educating yourself with credible sources. There's a lot of information out there, and while a lot of people and organizations are really trying to do the best thing, there is a lot of misinformation out there. So one of the things, you know, with breastfeeding is it's hard to think about how it's going to be before your baby even gets here, but knowing what's normal, you know, for example, knowing that, you know, newborns eat a lot. They're supposed to eat a lot. Their tummies are really small when they're born. They're about the size of a marble. So, you know, knowing that a baby is going to eat a lot and knowing that that doesn't mean that you have low milk supply, knowing that that's because baby's tummy is really small, can really help when baby does get here. So you know that there's nothing wrong, that baby's eating a lot because that's their job, to eat, to sleep, to pee, to poo, to cry sometimes, to fuss. But knowing what is normal and what to expect can allay a lot of those fears and help in the back of your mind as you're going through it, so you know a little bit of the process and what's happening. Along that same vein, I would say, you know, taking a breastfeeding class, when you're taking your baby skills class, your labor and delivery class, they often do offer breastfeeding classes as well. And again, moms will say, well, why would I do that before the baby comes? Because I should have the baby there to practice with. But again, it's knowing what to expect, knowing what those first few days are going to be like, the first couple of weeks, and it gives you a context that will hopefully reassure you, when baby actually does come. As far as preparing your body, there's really nothing that you need to do to prepare. Your body already is preparing. This is why we have breasts. This is why our bodies make milk. In our society, breasts are for a lot of things, or people think they're for a lot of things, and they are, and that's okay. But our primary function really is to make milk for our offspring, and milk that is unique and individual to your baby, based on their needs and their, physical being. So while there's nothing you need to do to physically prepare, because your body is, when you're pregnant, your body is actually making milk because your body's getting ready for your baby to be born. So when your baby's born, then your milk says, okay, great, I've been preparing this milk. Now I can go ahead and let it out, for the baby. One of the things that does happen, though, is as your skin is stretching, and you've probably noticed this with your tummy stretching and getting very itchy, that can be uncomfortable. That can actually cause soreness. So if you're experiencing that on your nipples or on your breasts, it's perfectly safe to use some HPA lanolin, which is our lanolin, which is highly purified, completely safe. Rubbing on your nipples is not going to induce contractions. It's not going to induce labor because you're not going to be putting it on for hours at a time. But that can actually help as your skin is stretching and as your nipples can get a little tender, can get itchy, and can get sore. You don't want to go into breastfeeding with soreness. But that doesn't always mean that you're going to have soreness when you're breastfeeding. It just means your body is stretching. But you don't need to rub terry cloth. You don't need to rub towels on your nipples. You don't need to toughen them up. Your body will adjust as baby is nursing, to the constant contact that your baby will have with your breasts.
You know, Gina, I want to circle back to something you said at the beginning, which is the emotionally preparing yourself for breastfeeding. I know before my first son was born, I kind of thought, I prepped for everything else. I prepped for the delivery. I prepped for what to have at home. I felt like I did a lot of prep, and I didn't prep for the nursing because I sort of naively thought, well, how hard can it be? Baby puts his mouth, and that's pretty much all there is to it. But I think in retrospect that would have really helped because it is work, and I think, and it's not to scare women away from it, but it's work, and it can be painful, and it can be difficult, and there is a big emotional investment in breastfeeding, and it's awesome, and it's such an incredible time with your baby. But I love what you said about, before the craziness, before your baby is born, maybe do a class or, as you said, find some online resources. I think that's really important and great advice. So switching gears a little bit, can you talk a little bit about some of the common issues with breastfeeding and how they can be treated?
Sure. So as I mentioned before, your body is preparing your breast milk now, even when you're pregnant, and you might even experience some leaking, which is totally normal. I just had a mom call me the other day, and she was so worried because she's like, I just woke up, and I've got milk, and oh, my God, does that mean that the baby's coming now because my body's letting the milk out? And it's totally normal. That actually is a really great sign because that shows that, yep, the milk's in there, it's coming out, that's normal. You can use nursing pads if it comes to be an issue. But one of the things that happens is that when your baby's born, your body says, okay, great, baby's born, ready to let this milk out. babies are sleepy. They're, you know, exhausted when they're born because they've just gone through a whole ordeal to come out. And so what moms, you know, should really understand, or women should really understand going into it, is your baby is going to be teaching your body how much milk to make. And when baby latches on, they trigger hormones, they trigger all these steps that take place in mom's body that triggers latching on, suckling, that triggers things in mom's body, and then mom's body says, okay, great, something's latched on, I need to let the milk out, and let down happens. What moms often experience, and this is normal, is when your baby's born, your first milk is called colostrum. Very thick, very dense. It's like baby's first booster when they come out. It's very dense and thick because it's got nutrients and antibodies and all of the things that your body is preparing to help protect your baby when baby's outside in the world. This colostrum is around for about 3 days, and that can vary by mom. It depends on, you know, how old baby is. Like, you know, if your baby's born at 39 weeks or 40 weeks, it depends. But generally, your colostrum switches over to mature milk that third or fourth day after birth. When that happens, the mature milk is very, there's a lot of it. Colostrum is very thick and dense, so it's not as much. So sometimes moms think, wait, I'm only getting little, you know, droplets out with the colostrum. That's normal because it's like condensed milk almost, if you were going to connect it to something else outside. It's very thick and very dense. And so when your mature milk comes in, it's much thinner. It's more voluminous. So when that transition happens, your breasts are likely to be swollen. Again, that's a good thing. It doesn't feel great because your breasts are extremely swollen. I remember looking down, I hope I don't offend anybody with this, but I remember looking down and thinking, when did those melons get into my T-shirt? Because I swear I thought they were just huge. And it's because your body is saying, I've made all this milk, I'd like to do something with it. And that's when we are advising moms, from the beginning, feed on demand. Feed when your baby is showing you hunger cues. Babies are hard to read sometimes, but other times they're really not hard to read. They're sucking on their fingers, they're smacking their lips, they're rooting around. It looks like they're just trying to suck on anything. Those are great signs for when your baby's hungry. You can't spoil a baby at that age. You really, for a long time, you really can't spoil a baby. Their primary function right now is to nurse and to grow and to develop. So the swelling will probably happen as your body's getting adjusted. That's okay and that's normal, but the best way to try to ease that and to get it to the swelling to go down is latch your baby on, nurse as often as they want to. Don't watch the clock. That's a big, big, big thing. My mother-in-law, my mom, my grandma, everyone was saying, well, you just fed the baby. They can't possibly be hungry again. But again, their stomach is the size of a marble. And when they pee and they poop, the milk goes out. They need to replenish that. So when people say, my baby wants to feed every hour, she's a week old, she's 3 weeks old, that's so normal. And it's exhausting, but that's their primary function. And their body will start to expand. Their tummy gets a little bit bigger on day three, so it's like the size of a shooter marble, which is, you know, a little bit bigger than a marble because their tummy is stretching. You know, day 10, it's about the size of a ping pong ball. So every time you're feeding, you're helping your body regulate the amount that it needs to make, because baby takes out X amount, your body replenishes that amount. It's a cycle of supply and demand. What goes out gets replenished. So engorgement is really one of the biggest things in the beginning, because your body wants to make the milk and your baby's telling your body to make the milk. And by watching your baby and not watching the clock, that's one of the biggest, biggest things for the early days.
And painful. Gina, it's, I mean, again, not to scare moms. I was not prepared for the, I don't even want to say painful, but the bizarre sensation of engorgement. And when your milk first comes in, even it's a crazy sensation.
It is, and sensation is the perfect word for it. It gets tingly, you know, anywhere on your body where your skin is stretched and taut and tender to the touch, it just is exacerbated when it's your breasts because it's very tender. You also have a lot of hormones going on when you're pregnant and when you're first, you know, having your baby. Your hormones are out of whack. You could be, you know, all very emotional. You know, it, and so anytime, like moms are saying sometimes, well, but it's so swollen and so engorged and it hurts that I don't even want to latch baby on, which is totally normal and understandable. But understanding that once you get over those tingles and once you get over that initial, oh, I'm going to latch baby on, trust me, latching a baby on is the best thing that you can do because baby is going to relieve that by getting the swelling down, by getting the milk out. And that it is something that you just work through. Just take it a minute at a time. Know that it's normal. Don't be afraid to ask for help. There are so many moms who call me and say, I don't want to ask you this because it seems like such a dumb question. Seriously, the smallest question that you have, it really, that's what we're here for. That's what lactation counselors and consultants are here for. And something that you feel like is a huge problem or a small problem, let us take the burden from you. Don't stress. We can help you answer the question. We can help you find resources, and we can help you understand. And that goes back to understanding what to expect. Because if you don't know what to expect, human nature is you're going to automatically assume there's something wrong or there's something that you're doing wrong or there's something that's not right in this equation. It is a learning process, and your body does take some time to get adjusted. You're not used to having a baby at your breast constantly, and that does take an adjustment. But it does get adjusted. Like, you'll look back after a month and think, oh my gosh, I don't even know how I made it through those first couple of days, but you will.
And you
if
will.
You want
yep.
to, you will. And, yep. And how, whatever that means for you, if you know, you're really sore and you need to take a break, take a break. It's okay. It's okay to pump. We recommend waiting at least for the first month, but there's no absolute. It's what works for you. And I'd rather have a mom who's taking a break than collapsed in tears because she thinks that she's doing a bad thing, you know, if she takes a rest and, you know, someone else feeds the baby express breast milk. There's enough in this world that we beat up ourselves about. Let's not make one of these because it's already, you know, it's a good time, but it's also can have some stress to it too. But there are people to help you, so I don't want to scare you, moms.
That's why we love working with you guys, actually, Gina, because you know, you do, you present sort of the facts and some common concerns, but you know, you do always circle back to the fact that moms need to do, and families need to do what's right for them. So although you're suggesting guidelines and some, you know, best practices, it's not set in stone. And I know you always circle back to that, which is, again, why we like working with you guys. You know, also when you were saying about engorgement, I was thinking this morning when I was getting ready for this teleclass that I remember sort of a funny moment, and it happened when I was in the hospital. I actually had my first son in London, so you're able to stay in the hospital a little bit longer. And I was having trouble nursing, and my husband actually had gone to a breastfeeding class in the hospital because I had had a cesarean and I couldn't go. And actually, goes back to what you said at the beginning, I should have done it probably before I was in the hospital. But anyway, he went to the class, and I was so engorged that my son couldn't latch on. It was like trying to latch on to a brick wall. So my husband comes running in the room. He's like, I know exactly what to do. He's like, you need to express a little milk out. And I was in with all these women. We look at him like, how do you even know that? Whatever. So, but it
That's
helped.
Amazing.
Yeah, it was great. And he's like, you take the nipple and you do this. And I was like, what is happening? But it really, really helps with engorgement to just express a little bit, loosen it up a little bit, and then try again.
Yeah, that's actually a really good point. So for moms or women who really don't know what engorgement sort of is, it's like if your breast was a balloon. So when a balloon is not blown up, you know, it's it's there's a little nub at the top, and then it blows up and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and pretty soon it's a very smooth, round surface. The same thing happens with your breasts. Your nipple can get flattened out. It doesn't mean that you have flat nipples. It means that you have temporarily flattened nipples because your breasts are very swollen. So you can use your hands for sure. So you just push, you know, and we've got information on the on our website, but so you can just literally push, just gently push around the nipple. You're just trying to push that swelling back just to avert the nipple, because then baby's able to latch on and ease the engorgement. We also have something called the Latch Assist, which is a simple little tool, just uses gentle suction, or you can actually not even press it and use suction. You can actually just use it. It looks like a very tiny little pump flange, a little cone, and you just use that just to push, again, push that swelling back just a little bit just to get the nipple out. Soften your breast, express some of the milk, just gently, you know, massage your breast. Help flatten it out just a little bit just to get some of that milk out. Actually, also having milk on your nipple will help your baby because they can smell it, and then they'll start, you know, licking, and they understand, okay, great, this is where I'm supposed to be, and then they latch on. So, yeah, it is normal for things to get a little flattened out. There are also nipple shields. I think that's also something to bring up. There are a lot of things that I would recommend before nipple shields. I think nipple shields are something that moms think they have to have, and they don't. A lot of women have used them and have used them with great success. I think it's really, 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 really important to make sure that you're using anything like that with a lactation professional, because you don't want to use it the whole time. You don't want baby to get used to it, all of those things. But there are things that you can do either, you know, naturally with your hand, or you can actually use, and there are a variety of tools that are available. There's not one size fits all. You know, lots of things work for different people. But I would say you really want to understand sort of what the underlying cause of it is. You know, engorgement we know is because of the milk coming in. But anything like that, you just want to make sure that you're not just assuming, oh, I have to have that tool. And, you know, obviously I work for Lanceno and we have a lot of products, but as a lactation counselor, I'm not, if there's a product, if you don't need to use a product, don't use a product. If there's something that we don't even have, I'll recommend something else, because ultimately it's not about products. Ultimately it's about you and your baby and getting baby latched on and you guys working things out. So there are a lot of things that, you know, go around, especially in those early days. So that's why we just want to help understand what goes on and what's normal.
And then the other two things that that come up, mastitis and plugged ducts. What goes on there, and anything moms can do to prevent that or heal if they do get that?
Yeah. So your breasts are basically, so you know, underneath the surface, the milk comes out in a lot of channels. There are many holes within your nipple that you just wouldn't have noticed before because milk wasn't coming out of them before.
Because
so
why would you?
Exactly. And there's not just one hole. There are multiple. And when you see your letdown, you'll be amazed. You're like, wow, I didn't really think there was going to be a bunch of milk spraying out of my breast, but it does. And you get used to it. Sometimes it's funny and sometimes it's horrifying. But as you know, those are all, it's basically a highway system in your breast. It's a whole bunch of channels or roads. And all of that basically helps the milk come down through the breast and out, you know, through the nipple. Milk is fatty. It's got a large concentration of water, but it also has all the antibodies and nutrients and vitamins, and it has fat in it because fat helps your baby's brain develop. And all of those things work great, and sometimes it's very creamy. Sometimes it's a little bit more thin, liquidy. Sometimes it looks like skim milk. Sometimes it looks like 2%. Sometimes it looks like whole milk, and sometimes it looks like clotted cream. And just like in any kind of, you know, if you're squeezing toothpaste out of a tube, sometimes there's a little part that gets a little stuck in there. That's the same thing that happens with plugged ducts. The duct is the system, the channel system. And sometimes fatty milk will get stuck in there. And that's okay. I mean, that just happens. what you can do to try to either avoid plug ducts or to address a plug that's happening right now is keep nursing. You want to keep the milk flowing so you're pushing those plug ducts through. You want to try to dislodge that clog. And so nursing frequently on demand, again, is keeping all those channels open. If you do get a plug, what you'd more likely notice is, a little raised red area on your breast. It could be tender because, again, that's a little swollen area, and your body then, you know, sends blood because it's thinking, well, there's something going on here. I need to address it. You can gently massage that with your hand. This is going to sound really strange to people, but you could use, an electric toothbrush, a clean electric toothbrush, because it's the vibrating action that actually will help to dislodge that duct or that plug. You can also pump because, again, you want the milk to be flowing. And the more the milk is flowing, baby is super strong. And you'll notice this when baby latches on. Their sucking is unbelievably strong. The tongue is the strongest muscle in the body. So baby, always err on feeding baby. Always err on using baby to try to address these things. A pump is a good secondary measure, but really just keep nursing. Sometimes the tendency with engorgement or with a plug duct is, oh God, it hurts, I'm going to stop. If you stop, that's just going to jam things up even more. That means that more milk's going to get collected, you're going to get swollen, and you want to keep it flowing. And it might be tender while you're nursing, but that's actually, it's good because it's keeping the milk flowing and keeping it coming out, which then also helps your body understand how much milk to make. On mastitis, that basically, if you don't keep the milk flowing, and if the milk isn't allowed to keep going through the channels, and you don't address the plug duct, or you don't relieve that swelling, mastitis can happen. And mastitis is basically a breast infection. It's not always just from plug ducts or from engorgement. It can also be if you've got cracked or sore nipples, and there's a wound or a small opening or a small crack. That can also, obviously, bacteria can get in there. Bacteria can grow, and that can cause a breast infection. Again, super scary. It's okay. It's common. Mastitis, you might feel like you have the flu. You might feel extremely exhausted. You feel like you got hit in the head overnight. I mean, it's just, you wouldn't always think, oh, that's related to breastfeeding. But if you have a low-grade fever, if you feel just absolutely horrible and not great, like you've got the flu, it could be mastitis. It won't always necessarily, you won't be able to see anything necessarily, but that would be something that you would talk with a lactation consultant about or your doctor, because you may need to get on antibiotics, and there are antibiotics that are safe to take while you're breastfeeding. But again, you really want to try to, you know, in that case, you do want to try to rest. You really do want to try to take it easy. Don't separate yourself from your baby. But if you need to, if you're just absolutely exhausted and feel terrible, then pumping would be good. You don't want to skip feedings because that's going to make it worse, because, again, you need to keep the milk going out, and then the milk gets replenished. But we do have a lot of this information up on our website. I know it's probably a little overwhelming, but it is all very connected. That's the thing about breastfeeding. It's all sort of keep the baby at the breast, feed on demand, try to avoid engorgement, keep feeding, avoid the plug ducts. You can also avoid the mastitis.
And you know, you mentioned, Gina, the cracked nipples. I know Lansinoh makes a really nice, it was actually my favorite, nipple cream. And, you know, some moms, you know, use nipple cream, some moms don't. I did, and it really, really helped. With the cracking, because that was something also that I didn't predict, how painful the cracked nipples could be. Because it's a moisture, you almost like chapped lips, I wanted to keep them, sorry if people hate this word, I know sometimes people hate this word, but moist, I wanted to keep them moist.
Right, well that's a huge, huge part of it. We've been around for 30 years, our name Lansinoh means lanolin, lan, sin is without, OH is alcohol. Alcohol is a drying agent. anything that you put on your nipples, you want it to be safe for you and safe for your baby to ingest, because you don't want to put something on that you're going to have to wipe off prior to breastfeeding, because if you're already sore, you don't want to be wiping your nipple. It's really important to pay attention to ingredients. There are a lot of products out there that would be fine for anybody's skin. However, when you're talking about a baby, you know, latching on, there are a lot of products out there that do claim to be as pure as Lansinose, and we have a proprietary process. It's impossible to be as pure as ours. It's so hugely important to us. So pesticide residues, detergent residues, alcohols, you know, anything that, if it's not a single ingredient product, it's just be very mindful of what you're putting on. And unfortunately, you know, marketing happens. Well, unfortunate or not, marketing happens, and things are said, and, oh, well, this has this, and this has this, and natural and organic, and all those things are really, really important. But read the ingredients and make sure that it doesn't have a bunch of stuff in it that, while it might be fine for skin, it's not going to be good for ingestion. So that's a big part of it. And, yeah, cracking and soreness does happen, and you want to heal that as soon as possible. And moisture is really, really important. Lansinose also, it's bacteriostatic, which means it will not inhibit bacteria growth. So when you talk about mastitis, you don't want bacteria to grow. If you're using something like HPA, it actually helps cover nerve endings, so it helps with symptomatic pain relief while you're figuring out why you're getting sore. Because that's the other thing. It shouldn't hurt. It may feel tender, it may be sore, and it may be painful at times, but it shouldn't continue being painful. Your baby's mouth may not be open wide enough, and it's okay to unlatch them and relatch them, because some people think, well, I don't want to disturb the baby. But if they're not latched on with their full mouth wide open, they're not going to get as much milk as they could if you unlatch them and then relatch them. So as with anything, I wouldn't recommend just putting lanolin on unless you understand sort of why you're getting the soreness. But sometimes it's just sore because, again, your baby's nursing a lot, and it just is something that your body is getting used to. So those are really, you know, really common things, but there are things that can help, but not everything is the same.
Is the same, right. So look at those ingredients, everyone. They really do help, though. Switching gears a little bit, I want to open it up to questions in a minute. So if you have questions, be thinking about what they are, callers. And if you do have a question, you press *2 on your phone to unmute yourself. If you are joining us via your computer, you can type in a question. There's a little Q&A button, and you can just type it in, and it will come right to my inbox. So I'll be on the lookout for those as well. So before we officially open it up, Gina, I think this is probably the number one question concern that you get aside from the things that we just discussed, and that is milk supply and how moms know if their baby is getting enough to eat. I'm sure that's one of the biggies. So can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. So like I was talking about before, feeding on demand and feeding, letting your baby teach your body how much milk to make is huge. That is the best way to establish and maintain your milk supply. It's really, it's unfortunate because a lot of the messages that we have over the years are, you're not going to make enough milk, and oh my God, milk supply is going to be a problem, and oh my God, I don't think I have enough. My body didn't make enough. And it's not uncommon for those concerns to happen because, again, I think we've never done this before, so we don't know what to expect, and we don't know that our body's actually churning out milk. The number of moms, the percentage of moms that actually physically can't make enough milk is under 1%. Now, there are moms who don't make enough milk, but it's because they're sort of there are things that are being introduced that are interrupting that natural flow. So just like I talked about, if you need a rest, take a rest. And if someone else is going to feed the baby, that's okay. But in the meantime, you don't want to signal to your body to not make milk. So if you're, you know, if you have to run out or if you, you know, someone else is going to feed the baby and you skip that feeding, your body will think, okay, I'm going to conserve now and I'm not going to make that 5 ounces that I thought I was supposed to make. So I'm just going to hang out and then I'm maybe only going to make 3 ounces because I'm not going to make more milk because it's not needed. So feeding on demand is super, super, super important, especially in the first, you know, early days and the first several weeks, because again, that's teaching your body how much milk to make. So, you know, if someone else is feeding the baby, pumping to stimulate that supply is super important. Again, it's not like the baby, but it is going to trick your body into thinking that's a baby that's latching on. You know, babies do lose weight when they're born. That's really normal. That happens. I mean, I think it happens almost all the time. But they'll quickly regain it. And again, nursing on demand will help them regain that because they're getting replenished with your milk, and that's got all the vitamins and nutrients they need for their specific age. So that's going to help them grow and develop. Babies lose about, you know, 5 to 7% during the first couple of days after birth, and that's really normal. But they'll regain their birth weight, you know, within the first 10 to 14 days. You know, obviously, if baby's not gaining weight, you're going to be at your healthcare provider's office very frequently in the beginning. You know, keep in touch with your healthcare provider and lactation consultant if you're concerned about nursing. You know, they will weigh the baby before you nurse. They'll weigh the baby after you nurse. They'll know how much baby is, you know, taking in. You know, moms often say, well, oh, my gosh, the baby's sleeping, and I don't want to wake her up, but I'm just going to let her sleep for 4 hours. First, your breasts are going to get swollen because they're going to think, wait, hold on, it's time to feed. Why am I not feeding? And you'll notice the physical sensation of your breasts literally starting to just fill up with milk. Wake your baby to eat if they haven't regained their birth weight. So, you know, my kids were big when they were born. My son was 10 pounds when he was born. My daughter was 8.5 pounds when she was born. They wanted to sleep because they were bigger babies. I woke them up because they needed to regain their birth weight, and they are sleepy. They don't always know when they need to wake up. Often the hungry baby will wake up, but sometimes that tiredness overcomes the hunger. So wake your baby up in the first, you know, 2 weeks if they haven't regained their birth weight. But you can also gauge your milk supply from your baby's diaper. You know, they're going to have like 6 or more wet diapers a day till they're about 4 days old. Their urine should be light and mild smelling, just like, you know, us. Like if we are dehydrated, our urine will be very dark, you know, yellow, you know, darker yellow. You know, babies that are eating frequently, obviously, they're ingesting the milk and then they're peeing it out. Their tummy gets depleted, and then that's when they want to eat more. You know, poopy diapers, 3 or more poopy diapers each day, you know, by day 4, you know, the stools will be yellow and mustardy with, you know, once they get the meconium out. So all of these things will help you know that you have enough milk. A lot of times moms will say, I can't measure what's coming out of my breast. I'm so worried. I'd rather put it in a bottle because then I know what I'm, you know, measuring. Your body knows what to do. Your baby knows what to do. Try not, as much as you can, try not to interfere with that natural process, because that's when milk supply starts getting affected. And I know this all sounds sort of like, I'm like, oh, yes, it's so easy and it's so great. Just trust your body. You're going to be questioning yourself all the time, and that's really normal. But, you know, something like after you're feeding, your breasts will feel softer. The baby should feel, you know, seem very calm, full, sleepy. Baby will be alert and more active every day. Those are also really good signs of a milk supply. But if you ever have a question, you can get weight checks. You can, you know, lactation consultants have, you know, scales. They can come visit you. You can go visit them. There are ways to make sure that you are confident and you feel sure about your milk supply. But again, my biggest piece of advice, feed the baby as often as they want and as often as you can. Because, again, you can't spoil the baby, and all that's going to do is just make you a really good milk supply.
So, guys, I know Gina covered a lot in a short amount of time. I want to open it up to questions. And, by the way, I'm sorry, I misspoke before. It's not star 2, it's star 7. So if you have a question, you can unmute yourself by pressing star 7. If you are joining us via your computer, you can type a question in the Q&A part. So any questions at all, you
yes,
unmute yourself. Yes, call her
question. I have a question. Yes, hi. I'm planning on breastfeeding. I'm also planning on having my husband do a night feeding with a bottle with milk that I pump. And I'm just wondering your take on the whole concept of nipple confusion.
Good question.
Yeah, it's a really good question. So in general, we would recommend waiting for at least a month, if possible, before you introduce an artificial nipple. And again, that's not an absolute, that's just our recommendation, because you want your, it's not really about nipple confusion necessarily, although that's definitely tied to it. You want to make sure that your body is getting the signals from baby to establish your milk supply. Anytime something else is introduced, that, you know, you're someone else is feeding the baby, so you need to do something to stimulate your supply. So you would need to pump. Really ideally, you would either hand express, you can use a manual pump, you can use a, you know, a double electric pump or a single electric pump. But ideally, you would want to do that around the time of when the baby's getting fed. Some moms hear that and they're like, well, oh my God, I have to pump? What do you mean I have to pump? Well, I might as well just get up and feed the baby. I know it's not a popular, it's not a popular perspective. All of that to say, though, that that's okay. If that's what you've decided, that's completely normal. I would try to wait as long as you can after the baby's birth, before you start that up. You just want to make sure that your body doesn't get the signal to not make that milk during that feeding. One of the things, you know, nipple confusion actually, it's interesting. A researcher told me, a researcher actually that tested our nipple to make sure that it is clinically proven to reduce nipple confusion, is that it's actually not confusion. The baby's not confused. They're just developing a preference, which I think is a really interesting nuance. So.
Very.
What ends up happening, and you'll see this as you look at different bottles, many of them say, like, oh, just like the breast, or just like, you know, the nipple, or all the things. First of all, it's impossible. There, our breasts are our breasts, and you can replicate something, but you can't, it can't anything, it's just, it can't be the same thing. So you really do want to try to, you know, research, read reviews, you know, and have something that is tested, that is clinically proven. Because what you want the nipple to do is you want the baby to be able to use the same actions as learned at the breast. So when your baby's nursing, they're using their tongue in a wave-like motion to trigger the sensor in your body to let the milk down. On a regular bottle, or on, you know, many bottles that are out now that really weren't designed for breastfed babies, you know, you tip them over and the milk just pours out. That's not what happens at the breast. When your baby latches on, they actually have to trigger. So it takes a couple minutes. You know, they use their hands. They're, you know, you might think it's kind of odd. They're using their hands. They're squeezing your breast. They're sort of scratching a little at your breast. That's all really normal. That's the sensory that's needed for your body to say, oh, cool, it's a baby. I'm going to let the milk down. So baby actually has to work to get the letdown. If baby's on a bottle that isn't for breastfed babies, then the milk just pours out, then that baby thinks, oh, I get the milk quicker with that. I'm not going to work as hard when I'm at the breast. And that's when the preference happens. Some babies don't develop a preference and go back from breast to bottle, no problem. Some babies will develop a preference for the artificial nipple, or some babies will develop a preference just for breastfeeding. So I would really recommend, you know, making sure that you look out for a nipple that really is designed for a breastfed baby, that enables baby to use the same sucking actions, you know, as learned at the breast, And, you know, a lot of moms say, well, I mean, and personally, I had this experience. I literally went out and bought everything that was on the market, and it was just trial and error. And
yeah,
it was finally, and please take this with a pound of salt. It was before I was working at Lancenot. My son was, you know, going back to daycare, and I was completely stressed out because he would not take the bottle of nipple that my daughter took. And I got the job at Lancenot, and I said, I don't actually even know if I can work for you because I don't know that I can leave my baby because he's not, it took him an hour to feed off of this other nipple. And so when I started working here, they said, why don't you give this a try? You know, it was developed with our parent company. It's 50 years in development. They said it does enable baby to use the same sucking action. Give it a try. And again, take it with a pound of salt. I'm telling you, he finally stopped looking so confused when I would, you know, someone would give him the bottle and nipple because he was actually able to move his tongue in the same way as when he was breastfeeding. It's not me. It wasn't me, but it was a replacement while we had to be apart. So we have the natural wave nipple. I would suggest giving it a try. You know, it may not work. Hopefully it worked. Lots of moms are finding out that it actually does work after they've tried so many other things, because again, marketing will say, just like the breast, great with breastfed babies, but really when you get down to it, it really needs to work for you and for your baby. So those are, you know, some tidbits about preference or confusion, I would say. You know, it takes a little work for them to nurse at the breast. That's what they're supposed to do. That's just the way our bodies were designed. So you just want to make sure that you have something that won't be so different when they're nursing or when they're bottle feeding, because you don't want them to reject you when you guys are back together.
That's a great question. Thank you for that caller. Any other caller questions? You press *7 on your phone. That's how you unmute yourself to ask a question. Anything that we covered or didn't cover yet in our remaining minutes together? And if you are on your computer, you can type in a question. Oh, actually, someone just typed in a question. So, Gina, this caller typed in, she wants to know, she's heard about drinking a glass of wine while breastfeeding and wants to know your thoughts on if, you know, she needs to, quote-unquote, pump and dump or if that's okay.
Yeah, that's another great question. It's a very, very, very common concern, and I wish that term pump and dump had never happened because it's so misleading, unfortunately. As with anything you ingest, whether it's, you know, a cookie or a granola bar or whatever, all of that has to go through all of your digestion. It synthesizes in your body, you know, nutrients go here, you know, carbohydrates go there. So the same thing with alcohol, with a glass of wine, with beer, you know, with anything. It is not an auto. It's not like when you drink it automatically goes into your breast and it goes into your breast milk. It's a really common. I mean, I had the same concern, but it does get synthesized. Your body does break it down. Moderation is the hugest thing, and that's one of the biggest pieces of this. It's okay in moderation. Wouldn't recommend having a bottle of wine. Wouldn't recommend having 5 glasses of wine. One of the things for that, obviously, it's you don't want that to get through to your baby, but you also don't want it to get through because it'll make your baby really sleepy. It'll make them lethargic. It'll make them sleepy. And there are a whole host of reasons why your baby shouldn't be ingesting alcohol, clearly. But if your baby is super sleepy and lethargic, they're not going to be actively nursing. They're not going to be releasing the milk from your breast. So you really want to keep an eye on that, but you do not have to pump and dump. You don't, because if you drink and then you immediately pump or you even pump an hour later, it hasn't even worked through your system yet to get into your breast milk. So you're literally just going to be pumping out breast milk that had nothing, that alcohol didn't even touch yet. So if you're feeling tipsy, don't nurse. You know, so, you know, give your, like, have the wine right after you nursed, because then you've got you know, a period of time before your baby nurses again, that'll give your body time to work it through, to synthesize. You're probably going to go to the restroom in between that time. So it just needs to work through your system, but really everything in moderation.
It's another great question. Okay, so guys, you have to bear with me. As I mentioned at the beginning, this is a new fancy platform, and I see someone on the web has raised their hand. So let me just see. I'm sorry, bear with me, person that raised your hand. Let me just see if I can figure out how to. Hi, person that raised your hand, can you hear me? Someone is asking a question through their computer. I don't know.
Yes. My name is Adriana.
Adriana, so the downside of this is that there's a lot of background noise when you do it, when you actually speak through your computer. Will you do me a favor? Will you type in the question, and I'll answer it that way? Only because while I'm recording this, we're getting background noise. Is that possible?
I don't see where I can type.
Okay, wait. Hold on. Let me mute it so you can hear me, and I'll tell you where to do it. Hold on. Okay. I think your name is Tatiana. There's a little button and it says Q&A, and you should be able to type in your question, which is what the other caller had done. It should be like a little button on your landing page, and you can type it in.
I don't see that.
You don't see that.
I see send feedback, the unmute and mute, the dial pad.
Oh, actually, we can hear you better right now. So, you know what? Why don't you go ahead and shout out your question? We can actually hear you.
I jumped in a little late, and I saw something that you could like listen to it with it. We listened to the call within the next 3 to 5 days. You'll get an email. Is that the case?
Yes, okay. That's the key too. That's a great question. Actually, thank you for asking that. I know sort of busy moms, anyone that joined us late, and certainly those that have left early, which I will email them, you will get a recording to this entire class, and you will get that in the next 3 to 5 business days, and it will have Lantino's website. As Gina mentioned, they have a ton of information on many of the things that we discussed, and it will also have a playback to this call in its entirety. It's a great question. Thank you for asking that, Tatiana.
Thank you.
Any other caller questions on anything we've covered, anything we haven't covered? If you want to type in a question, you can do that now. We have time for probably one more caller question or one more typed question. Oh, wait. Okay, so we have one more. Yes, caller question.
I have a question. Yes.
Hi.
My cousin actually just delivered 3 days ago, and she was having a lot of shivers, and her OB told her it's because her body's producing more milk than she is actually breastfeeding to the baby, so she needs to stop pumping now. The baby's only 4 years old. Four days old. I don't know if you're aware of the scenario, or is that true, or if you could shed some light on this.
That's so
an
you said that
question.
He recommended her stopping pumping or start pumping?
Stop pumping, because she's making more milk than the baby is taking right now. The baby was born a little early, 2 weeks early, and she's small, so she's not taking that much milk, but her body is producing a lot more milk.
Huh? Okay, yeah, that is interesting. You know, shivering is not common, but I mean, it definitely can happen. You know, I think a lot of times what's happening is that her hormones, I mean, baby's only 4 days old, so her hormones are sort of getting adjusted, and she's actually her body's trying to figure out, okay, I've got all this milk, what am I going to do? You know, what should I figure out? She actually, if she was pumping, she would actually then make more milk, because what her body would then think is, okay, I'm going to take all this milk out, I'm just going to keep making it. So I wouldn't recommend pumping, because that's actually going to just make the situation a little bit more difficult. When babies are feeding, and what I talked about before with the engorgement, your breasts, her breasts are going to, you know, be very, very swollen. And then as baby teaches your body how much milk to make, then it actually starts reducing down to the amount that your baby actually needs. Excuse me. So if she is then feeding the baby on demand, her shivering will be going down. Her, you know, her breast milk, actually her production will get regulated, but pumping is going to possibly cause it to increase, probably cause it to increase, and she's actually going to then have more of an issue because she's going to be making more milk, and then the baby's not going to be taking out the milk. And then if she's spending time pumping, she could be spending that time with the baby at the breast. So what I would recommend, I mean, it's very difficult, obviously, being not there in person, and I don't want to assume that the doctor does not have, you know, reasons for suggesting that. What I would recommend is that she have a lactation consultant come in for an evaluation.
Okay.
Not to discredit the doctor at all, but it sometimes unfortunately physicians don't always understand everything about breastfeeding, and that's what a lactation consultant's specialty is. So the hospital should have a lactation consultant. If not, there is a website that's the Lactation Consultant Association, and there's a zip code finder, or a city or a state or a zip code that you can just type in, and it'll pull up all the lactation consultants in her area. And that website is ilca.org.
ilca.org.
Yes.
All right. Great.
Great.
Yeah, I mean,
great
as far
question,
as like,
Holly,
as far as the shivering, it is. Her body is going through so much right now. It's like you get hot, you get cold, you're shaking, you're upset, you're crying, you're happy. It literally is a complete circus, and that's what it feels like sometimes. So the shivering is really normal. It's that her body is just trying to adjust, and so that's actually that's something that can happen. I mean, I remember it happening. It only happened a couple of times, but you know, it's just something that can happen. It's her body saying, oh, my God, well, what's going on?
Right.
Yeah.
That's right. Thank you. Great question. And if people live in the New York City area and want, Laura and I have some great lactation consultants in the New York City area, if people want some recommendations as well. And also, you know, any follow-up questions, feel free to send them to me. I'm happy to pass them on to Gina or also to the Lancet website, which I think also covers a lot of these Q&As. So, guys, it looks like we're out of time. I want to thank Lancet for, again, sponsoring such an incredible and important teleclass. I want to thank Gina. Gina, as usual, you're amazing. Thank you.
Thank you.
No, it's important stuff, so thank you. And thank you. Callers, great questions, a great class. Be on the lookout. I will be sending you all a link to this tape class in the next few days. So thank you, everyone. Have a great day.
All right. Thanks, everyone. Good luck.
Bye, Gina. Take care.